Welcome to the Hamilton Spectator's Newsroom Insider Podcast. I'm your host this week, Natalie Patton. 92-year-old Morley Balanson is a Korean War vet who lives in the north end of Hamilton. It's believed he could be the oldest surviving Korean War vet in the area. Reporter John Wells recently spoke to Balanson about his memories from war, what it was like settling in Hamilton, and what it's like now that some of his friends are gone. So thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me, John.
Thanks for having me, Nat.
To start, tell me, how did you meet Morley? How did you come across this story?
Morley came to my attention when I was researching a piece on the anniversary of Vimy Ridge several months ago. And I was in the officer's mess at the James Street North Armories, and for an entirely different sort of angle of different story. And one of the reserve soldiers that was giving us a tour of the mess, out of the blue, he mentioned Morley. He just said, oh, you know, someday you should meet this guy. He's a veteran of Korea. He's in his 90s, and he comes down here with his medals and his full formal dress, and he'll come down for lunch. And his name's Morley Balanson. So I came back to the office and searched his name on our database, and we'd written about him a little bit before, but not his full story, really. And I mentioned it to my editor and kind of put it in the back pocket for later, for Remembrance Day and this luncheon that's honoring Korean veterans coming up next week, and circle back on it, and then interviewed Morley in September for the story.
Tell me, how did the interview go? What was it like interviewing Morley?
It was great. You know, his wife, Joan Balanson, I spoke with her on the phone first. She talked about how Morley, you know, his hearing is very poor. He's deaf in his left ear, and that has you know, some early dementia, and so she was great, sort of priming me for that. But he was actually, you know, having said that, he was very sharp when I was there. And she said later how I caught him on a really good day. You know, he was very responsive. I had to show it my questions because of his hearing. But went to his home there in the North End, and spent a really nice morning there. Joan got out all the scrapbook, some articles and pictures, and she would often, I would ask a question, he might not hear me correctly, she seemed to have just her voice, he's used to listening to her, I guess, she would cut through and kind of put the question to Morley in a slightly different way, and then he would talk, and so I was there for a few hours, and it was a great interview. And then, you know, the great thing was I went back again several weeks later to do an interview with Barry Gray, I interviewed him another time on video, and he was excellent that day too, and really delivered. And then I saw him one more time at the Food Basics on Longwood Road South, where he's manning the poppy box. And so I got to watch him in action a little bit there, and speak with Joan a little bit more because she was there. And then he'd written some memories of his time in Korea. He did that like 17 years ago. And Joan gave me a copy of that. So you're sort of pooling together these different information sources and experiences with him, and that becomes the story. And so taken together gave me a really rich wealth of information to draw from for the piece.
Tell me a bit about that information. I mean, what did you find out about Morley? What were some of his stories?
We talked, and again, it was sort of piecing together different things from his writings to a couple of the interviews, but you know, he talked about, I found fascinating his whole, and I'm always struck by, I'm always interested in finding out people's motivations for things and why he enlisted to go and fight, serve in Korea in 1950 in the first place. And so I was fascinated by his family history, that his older brother, Alex, had died serving the Second World War in Italy, and that his other brother had served as a medical officer in the war and survived the war, and how devastated his father had been when the older brother had died and that sort of thing. And his father, you know, published one of only three Yiddish newspapers in Canada, in Hamilton back in the I guess late 40s, up until the end of the Second World War, when his son died, and then he stopped writing altogether. And I mean, his father alone, we've written about his father, but I'm just struck by how you can write books about the father alone. He's a fascinating guy. But so Morley talked a little bit about that and talked about some of his experiences with in battle in Korea, at the Battle of Kapyong, that he received a very a high decoration for, the Presidential Unit Citation. And so he spoke in bits and pieces. I mean, his memory, as I sort of looped with the story, that he would tell a bit of a story, and then that was sort of the end of it. I think he's used to telling certain pieces from his experience. So he'd begin in a certain place and end in a certain place, and couldn't sort of expand upon that or talk about how he felt at the time or what had happened before that or something, because it's sort of, there are these little passages that he remembers. And then in his written memoirs there, very brief, but his written memoirs there, I was able to fill in some of the blanks, because some of these stories he told, he expanded on a little bit more in the written part. So we talked about service over there. He was on one tour and came home and started a life in Hamilton, and just struck by the sweep of his life, and it was great just to sort of spend time with him in that space, that physical space with him in his house as well.
This isn't the first time you've interviewed a veteran, I assume. Right. Yeah. So tell me a bit about what that experience is like for you as a reporter.
It's always a humbling experience. It really is. That's an overused word, but it is. I mean, I find them. Veterans, it seems like the last three or four that I've interviewed have been, well, in their 80s or 90s. I mean, men, because they've all been men that I've interviewed from the Second World War and now Korea, who were at the end of their lives. And so I find interesting interviewing someone who's nearly 90, no matter what walk of life they're from, because of all they've seen and done. And I'm always curious to get their thoughts on life as the nearer the end of it kind of thing. But for the veterans who have served in these great historic chapters in the history of the world, I find it really humbling. And you go in there, you've written some stories and maybe have a bit of a profile in the city, but now you're interviewing someone who's actually done something important and something very brave. So it's a humbling experience in there. But to a person there, there are very warm and welcoming people who aren't looking for credit. This wasn't Morley emailing me saying, "Hey, I got a great story to tell," as sometimes we experience from people. I went to him. They're always very humble people as well. So it's great just to spend time with them. I consider it a privilege to kind of tell their stories. You're trying to present some history to readers before they're all gone. And that's what I tried to do with Morley and these other stories. And so that I take it very seriously. It's a great responsibility to help tell that history, I think.
At the same time, did you get a sense of what it's like for Morley to have a reporter come in and to be telling his story, dating back so far, mm-hmm. and sort of recounting those memories?
Yeah, I think he enjoyed it, and I think the ones that other veterans have interviewed, they enjoy the opportunity. I think they often feel they're, and I think Morley feels that they're sort of speaking for their comrades who aren't around anymore, whether they're killed in battle, or in Morley's case, he's had close friends who died recently who served in Korea. And I think I got that sense from Morley, that they want to help relay the story of all their comrades in arms kind of thing. And so Morley's a colorful guy. I think it comes across in the story how he's a character and he's fun to talk to, and he's always telling jokes. He doesn't take himself too seriously, there's an edge there. There's the old soldier kind of thing. There's that edge there. But he enjoyed teasing and joking, and he has an old printing press in his basement from when he ran a printing business. So where he Joan prodded him to talk about some battle or some wartime experience, and he said, "Well, okay." He said, "But if you're lucky, you'll get to see a classic printing press today, like to me, that kind of thing." So again, not as sort of seriously as I treat the topic, and he was very a lot of self-deprecation and didn't take himself too seriously.
Is there anything else that you'd want to add?
I think the pictures that Barry took were great, and the video was great. And in the video, you see Morley trying on his uniforms from Korea, and it was it's not on the video, but at one point he's quite fit for a nearly 92 year old man. But at one point, I was helping put on the coat, and helping him sort of button up a couple of the big buttons on the coat. And it just struck me how this guy had been through so much, and artillery fire from Chinese troops attacking in the Battle of Kaepyeong, all this sort of thing. And here I am, just this reporter helping him put on his coat. And it's kind of like you feel, again, sort of humbled that, you know, to be kind of helping out this guy who did so much in his life to try to help others and out of a sense of adventure. I mean, I think he relished the opportunity to go overseas. That's the other thing I've taken from these guys, is that they want to serve their country, but they're looking for an adventure, and they embraced it. You know what I mean? Morley titled his little memoirs that he typed up 17 years ago, "War is not always hell," because there were light moments, as I relate in the story, and some dark ones there too, I think. And maybe it helps them cope with what they saw when they focus on the positive as well. But it's just one of those experiences. You have certain stories you work on where you think, wow, you know what, that's an honor to have an opportunity to do that. And that's how I felt leaving his house there.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Natalie.